Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Coming up later on the show, we'll speak with one of the founders of March for Our Lives, David Hogg, the former Parkland student who, along with his classmates, mobilized to create a movement towards sensible gun legislation. Their work was documented in a film by Kim Schneider called Us Kids, which is being released virtually tomorrow by Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. Kim Schneider will join the conversation as well. Now, if that all sounds familiar, it's because this documentary has been on our radar since March. The film was supposed to screen at South by Southwest this year, but the festival was canceled. So we decided to include the documentary in our own sort of film festival series we called South by South of Houston. Us Kids follows some students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, the site of the 2018 mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, as they deal with the aftermath and the reverberations of the tragedy. I spoke with Kim Schneider and one of the other students, Sam Fuentes, earlier this year on March 24th, exactly. 2 years ago to the day after students and survivors of the shooting, including Sam, led the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. That day, they called for new gun legislation with the hopes of preventing school shootings, a goal they're still fighting for today. I started the interview by asking Kim what stories she wanted to tell about these students that hadn't yet been explored in the onslaught of media attention they received in the wake of the shooting.
After making Newtown, what really stuck with us was the idea of a nation of traumatized youth. And honestly, sitting where we're now sitting in the midst of the most urgent world health crisis of our lifetimes, it's hard to think about anything else. But I think Us Kids ultimately is a coming of age story about a generation that rose up and, you know, took charge and got stuff done. And now, I think sitting where we're now sitting, we need to keep more than ever, keep them healthy, safe, and engaged. And the film was really intended to show their trajectory over a year, their courage, resilience, and unwavering determination to mobilize it. I mean, they pulled off the largest, the clip you just played, largest youth protest since the Vietnam War, and they got that done in weeks. So they know a thing or two about getting stuff done. Mm-hmm. And they also know a lot about trauma, and we're very dedicated to working with the movement to team with them on a new initiative they have to help teens right now deal with anxiety and trauma around all these horrible issues we're facing.
So, Kim, when did you start working on the documentary, and what were those first few days like?
Oddly, for a lot of unforeseen reasons, I was in Florida working on another project when the Parkland shooting happened, and I found myself on the steps of the Capitol in Tallahassee when the first busloads of kids came up from Parkland to demand change of their own state. So that was really the birth of the movement, and I was there in those days. And then because of the history with Newtown, I went down there and started to really forge trust with the community. And with, you know, started to meet Sam and some of the others. And over time, Sam and I have forged what I call a collaboration. It's really a film that is, it's their voices.
Sam, let me get you in here in this conversation. So there's a through line throughout the doc about the media and how the media handled the story and how the media engaged with your community, with the Parkland community. Some of it is unflattering, rightly so. Sam, why did you decide to take part in this particular project?
Well, like as you said, a lot of what the media captured was this polarized, glamorized version of the event that had happened to us. This idea that we were stronger than this. This idea that we had an idea of what we were going to do. But the truth was, this film shed light on something that I know that the media didn't touch, which was like the trauma piece of it, the vulnerability, the pain, the shared uncertainty and fear and doubt that a community goes through, and not just a community, but a country goes through when a tragedy like this occurs. And this idea of how trauma influences a person when it comes to making a decision and really creating a cause and how that cause becomes. And I think they really missed that idea of a lot of what we do is because we have to do it, because we're so disheartened and so outraged by the state of the world that there's nothing else but to turn our trauma into action. And if not, then we sit just like everyone else does in complacency and indifference. And I feel that a lot of times people want to politicize our stories, but the truth is this is just an honest reflection of what this does to the youth and to a generation that is brought up and nurtured by fear and uncertainty and doubt. And the relationship that has between an individual and really, you know, the rest of the world, and how much they really miss when it comes to our stories. And that's a big reason I collaborated on it, because of the authenticity and the transparency that this film has that the media often doesn't capture correctly.
Yeah, one of the things I found so interesting and really informative and just engaging was your story of why you got sick on stage at the March for Lives. Because I think a lot of people thought, oh, maybe she's frightened, or maybe she's nervous. But you really had a moment of true anxiety and panic and being in a big, open public space. Would you share a little bit of that with my audience, what was going through your head when you were standing up there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in that moment, I had found this new terror, a new possibility that I hadn't considered that would frighten me. And I hadn't really been able to mentally prepare for that, because all my life, I could put myself through situations like that all the time. I could be around large groups of people, but in that first moment, it was the first time I'd ever been exposed to a large crowd of people like that since the shooting. And I hadn't realized that would have been a trigger for me, because I was so strung up on this idea that I had a mission to fulfill mm-hmm. and accomplish, and that seemed to be a lot more important than anything I had going on. I hadn't considered how it would affect me. And so in a trauma kind of way, I was terrified, and I was brought back to a place that I didn't want to be mentally in that moment when I was trying to do something else. And so in the beginning, I really didn't have a lot of control of my own narrative and my own story, because really trauma took the reins on all of my decisions in my life for a while, because I hadn't realized that when you go through something like this and you have such a horrific moment like stamped into your mind, it affects the way that you function, your personality, the character that you've become. And I had considered that in that moment. And so through this journey, working with Us Kids and March for Our Lives, I had the ability to kind of control my story and be the person who was the person who delivered it authentically without it scaring the complete, you know, crap out of me.
My guests are Sam Fuentes and Kim Snyder. We're talking about their new film, Us Kids. So, Kim, there's this moment when Emma Gonzalez says to the camera, you know, this national tour was important, but it was really somewhat unhealthy for them as kids. How could you see the toll that it was taking, all that public speaking, all the advocacy, all the being out there in front when they're teenagers, when they really are going through that, as you said, this coming of age, this really pivotal time in their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the point of the film and what long-form docs can do, is they were 17-year-olds for the most part, going through all those normal challenges, and here they were thrust into doing so in the midst of PTSD that was profound and trying to change the world and being besieged by media every minute. And it was just remarkable to watch them day in and day out do their homework on this bus. You know, they traveled across the country to learn in each city about local gun laws. And it was exhausting. They did not set out in the beginning to become celebritized or famous. They truly, as Sam said, rose up to, in a sense, avenge the deaths of friends and people that, in the case of Sam, she saw murdered in front of her to try to effect change that hadn't been happening. So it was humbling, and there was no other way for me to see it than utterly heroic. And I think sometimes the news, you know, just sort of showed this sort of celebritized side, but they were burnt out. There were mental health repercussions and sacrifices that they were consciously making as they did that. And I think they were always, I mean, it's just everything now is through this new lens of where we're sitting for me as I watch my own film again. And this critical connection of it being a public health issue, gun violence for them, being and not being a partisan issue was something they said as we went through Texas. And I feel like moving beyond that for the purpose of just saving lives, that message is now even more paramount. We're hearing it every day on shows like yours. And I just really respect and want to continue to work with them. They just initiated today something called Our Power. And I did tell the kids I would make sure people could find out on their website, March for Our Lives, or text at 954-954 to learn more, because it's about giving tools to other teens, from the voices of teens, about how to transform trauma and anxiety they may be having into change, and to train them also on organizing, because they know that although right now, especially as New Yorkers, our full focus is on saving lives, it is critical that we look 8 months down the line simultaneously and to mobilize these young people who've proven they know how to get stuff done. And in some ways right now, my young friends like Sam, they're more resilient than me, sitting in, you know, the fear that we all are feeling. They are, they were drivers, you know, this past year in this other issue that plagues our country. And I feel like they'll continue to do that. And they also understand, like, really astutely the idea of intersectionality. So for me, the film and what they do has always been bigger than Parkland or gun reform. They connected with Greta. Greta was, cites at the end of the movie that she was inspired by the Parkland walkouts. So it has this reverberating effect of a much larger youth movement to sort of, and we have to stand beside them. It can't be all on their shoulders, because they are young and they need support.
Sam, I want you to help educate us all. What is something that we should know about trauma now that it's years later, you're a little bit more mature, something that would have helped you 2 years ago, something that, that someone, parent, friend, anyone could have done or said that really would have supported you in a way that maybe you didn't even know you needed at the time, but now you understand that you needed?
Absolutely. I mean, I think probably more than anything that progress and healing is not linear. It's not this journey that just keeps going up and up. You don't just get better every single day. You know, there's days that'll go by and you feel great, and there's days that'll go by and you feel the worst that you have. So when it comes to, you know, promoting change or within yourself or even around others, like, that's not going to happen tomorrow, and it may not even happen next week, but with, you know, persistence and trust within yourself and in people that you can trust as well, who are aligned with your own ideas and goals and aspirations, you can accomplish so much, but you can't rush that process. And like, you know, much like the saying goes, Rome wasn't built overnight. So I gave myself patience and I gave myself time, and through that I learned so much. And through the collaboration with people like Kim and people like, you know, the great people of March for Our Lives and all of these astounding projects and campaigns that have come out of this movement, with time, you see just how much trust and patience will accomplish you, and hard work alongside with it. And so nothing will ever, you know, be the same for anybody, I think, when they go through a traumatic experience or a loss or a hardship, but there is still hope, and there are still people out there who believe in your process and your progress, and who are willing to invest in it as long as you are too. So I think that's probably the most meaningful thing I've learned, and the reason that I keep fighting is because through my fight and through my passion and my action, I heal as well. And so that's one of the biggest things I want to promote in this coming year, is this idea that, you know, you can turn your trauma into action. You can turn your worries and your doubts and your uncertainty into something productive, and will, in turn, make the world a better place and a safer place for everybody else.
Sam, how hard is the patience part?
oh, it's probably the worst part, honestly. There's nothing worse than this idea of not having control of an event and then it being something that dictates your life, right? So you want everything to be fixed tomorrow. You want things to get better. And if they don't, then you feel like there's something wrong with you. But the truth is that, you know, your circumstances are much larger than you are. And the things that you're surrounded by, your environment molds you. And this idea that you have control of that is impossible. And once you start accepting those impossibilities, those things that you can't control as an enhancement in your life instead of a controlling aspect, it becomes a lot easier to manage. But patience is a virtue that I was not born with. Like, that was something that I had to acquire over time. But I think, you know, with practice, it'll come.
My guests are Kim Schneider. She's the director of the film Us Kids, and Sam Fuentes, who is someone who's profiled in the film. She was a student at Parkland. So, Kim, you know, it's very, you spend time talking about gun violence not just being in places that we see on TV, and that it is a perpetual problem in many communities of color. Did you always know you were going to include that in the film, or was this something that, as you started to report out this story, became clearer to you?
I did know that. Whereas Newtown was a kind of moment in history and a kind of myopic view into one community mm-hmm. and what it looks like with grief, I did quickly, I was thinking along the way about the need to understand that it's true that the media tends to focus on what only represents, for instance, what is it, 2% of shootings of gun deaths across America, and in fact, 2/3 of those I think are suicides. So it's inner city gun violence. And then when I joined up with the kids, it was just so early on their most important message, which is shown in the film from Emma and others, to say, look, we got this spotlight, but it's not fair. We are traumatized. This was horrible. But we recognize and through social media are connecting up. And that's what is interesting that makes it feel like a real movement, not makes it feel that it is a movement, much like the ones we saw during the civil rights era and other times where you see this forging of real friendships, real relationships, and real mobilizing between people like Emma and Alex King in Chicago mm-hmm. and Bria Smith in Milwaukee, who's been living with gun violence and fighting for this for years before Parkland. So I knew early on that I needed that the main focus was to amplify what the kids and anybody who watched the march that day saw, that was the main focus on stage, was to represent people from different places and different forms of gun violence and people of color across America who are not getting the attention to their own losses.
Before I let you go, Sam, how are you doing? What's going on? What color's your hair?
Well, actually, believe it or not, it's mostly brown.
We're treated to many colors of your hair in the film.
You can really see the growth for sure. things are great. I'm still being persistent within my actions as a gun violence prevention activist. As Kim was talking about earlier, March for Lives, we have this new campaign coming out called Our Power, which is going to be targeted towards survivors and people who've experienced trauma, being taught by other survivors, and it's something that I have a big hand in the future. Hopefully that's something that's going to be piquing the interest and influencing our 2020 election in the next coming months. And for now, my presence will be on social media and organizing from the comfort of my bedroom, unfortunately. I'm just glad that today marks our 2-year anniversary. It was a really proud moment for a lot of us, and it's just a great day to reflect on, you know, not just the victories and the success that we've gotten out of this movement, but also just reflect on the lives that we've lost due to gun violence, you know, on a daily basis, and think about, you know, how that affects us and reflect honestly on it and think about what we can do for ourselves and for our friends and our neighbors in the future to create a safer and more sustainable America. And that's something hopefully I think all of us can reflect on today, about something that I'm reflecting on and just lots of things that are pending in the future.
That was my conversation with activist Sam Fuentes and director Kim Snyder about the documentary Us Kids, which opens tomorrow virtually. Coming up, we'll get an update about the March for Our Lives movement from David Hogg, activist and survivor of the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting. We'll also speak with director Kim Snyder. She'll be back. More after the break.